100.5. And now, live from the Row Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
This is a little-known song by The Cars. Some of you may not be old enough to remember The Cars, but they were very popular at one point. Had some really great music. Rico Kasich and the guys. The Dovester in the house, along with the birthday girl, Dee Dee Richardson. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, doing well. How are you?
So I want to be clear, because I could see it on your face when I closed it out with All Glory is Fleeting. I'm not pessimistic. I just want everybody to realize that if we don't work, all glory is fleeting. That's just the way it is. There's no way around it.
Yeah, but before you can work, you got to have the right structure in place. You got to know who you're working for. There's a lot of aimless work.
We were talking about who the Democrats might turn to.
Yeah.
John says Chelsea Clinton.
Chelsea was in the news this week because I think USAID found.
They
found a lot of money.
You would think, they uncovered that Stacey Abrams' organization was getting about $2
billion. $2 billion with a B.
For voter registration. Why is the government paying outside groups to register voters?
The real story that, in terms of what's being disclosed and the kinds of things this magnitude of money is going toward, is still yet to... I mean, if anyone hasn't heard, the president go through the numbers on the Social Security recipients with the age. It's like 10 million over the age of 120 are have Social Security active accounts. Mm-hmm. And the question is, where's that money going?
Well, we know where it's going, and we know this has happened. It's like rent control in New York City. Dove Sachs will have rent control, and his kids live with him. And then when Dove's gone, the kids never notify anybody, so they still live in the place with the same rent-controlled price that Dove was living in. A lot of funeral directors have come out to say, when somebody dies, we send notification to Social Security. And that is true, and I know that, because my mother was drawing Social Security, and she died on the 3rd of November. Am I right about that? I think it was the 3rd of November.
Yeah, she died like 3 days before birthday
So... and they had already deposited her Social Security check because it's automatic. So when the funeral home notified Social Security that she was no longer with us, they clawed that money back immediately. But that is for people who aren't seeking to defraud the government.
Those folks have mom buried in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Of course they do.
We'll skip the funeral director.
And to begin to believe that doesn't happen is just so... It's like saying there's no fraud in voting. It's just so nonsensical. Only people that can't think would believe something like that.
Right. And so it's only been, it's been, I think, 3.5 weeks. And the speed of this.
No, today is 1 month. 1 month. Today's February 20th. 1 month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is hard to believe because it feels like it's been 6 months.
So I guess Monday that just passed was 4 weeks. That makes sense. I was off by a week.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's a dizzying pace.
It is.
If you actually look at the number of issues that have now become activated in a way that has a lot of value add and low-hanging fruit for the American people, it's incredible. And the hostages that have come back and the things that are happening on the Russia-Ukraine front and things that are happening in the Middle East.
Let's talk about that for a moment.
Sure.
So, as you know, Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with his Russian counterparts in Riyadh earlier this week. And the idea was to begin to talk about a framework for peace. Zelensky and the Ukrainians were upset they weren't at the table, and the Europeans, more importantly, were upset they weren't at the table. What has Europe done in the 3 years that this war has been going on? What have they done?
They've just been on board the Biden plan of arming.
They've done nothing.
Intensifying.
I've gone back and looked. The NATO partners, with the exception of Poland, have done nothing. Poland did actually try to arm NATO with some fighter jets, and Biden stopped that from happening, as you may or may not recall, very early on in this process. But other than Poland, they've really done nothing. And now Europe is demanding a seat at the table for peace?
Well, Europe actually is most upset about the location. It's typically Switzerland, you know, Geneva or whatever. And Trump said, no, it's going to be
right.
Riyadh, elevating the crown prince, because Trump's always looking for the next deal. Right.
And absolutely.
So it's all connected to Middle East peace, too, because this is now what he's doing with Saudi Arabia.
Well, he's trying to pull them in as a world partner instead of having that isolated issue we've had in the Middle East.
Well, the big jewel is the Saudi-Israeli peace deal.
Of course.
And that's what Trump's really driving for. But
because he wants to reinvigorate the Abraham Accords.
Well, he can reinvigorate them, and that hinges on Saudi Arabia jumping in and
right, sure, of
yes,
course.
That's the whole deal. So having it there is just more than meets the eye. But yeah, there was nothing happening in terms of peace.
I just find
for
it
3 years.
So arrogant on the part of the Europeans, who we've had to bail their butts out twice in world wars, or in the last one they would be Nazis, and they've done nothing except for Poland. Poland did try to help Ukraine. They've done nothing. And now they're demanding a seat at the table for peace. Give me a break. They're doing this precisely right. Zelensky has done what Trump has done. He negotiated in public on the peace deal. He said, we will not cede lands for peace. We won't do it. So there's his line in the sand. That's what he has said. So Marco Rubio met with the Russians to sort of see what their line in the sand was. And then at some point, we'll get all the parties together. But this is an appropriate approach. Plus, Russia was the aggressor. In order to get them to stop being the aggressor, what will Russia want from Ukraine to do this? We've got to find a starting point for peace. People like Biden, who never negotiated deals, had no idea.
Yeah,
it's like the Hamas ceasefire thing. Biden went on and on and on and on about how he pulled that deal together. He announced it in May. It didn't happen until Trump came along and said, do this or else, because Joe Biden doesn't know what the hell he was doing. He wasn't even at home mentally. So my only point here is I found it almost offensive that America has supported Ukraine. And we're now finding out, Zelensky says, $100 billion of the $177 billion that they were supposedly granted hasn't even materialized. But we were supporting Ukraine. Russia did nothing, and yet they want, in their own arrogance...
Europe did nothing, you mean?
What did I say, Russia?
Mm-hmm.
I meant Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me. Europe, in their own arrogance, wants a seat at the table for something they have done nothing to prevent, stop, or bring peace for.
Yeah, I mean, they're not calling the shots here. And Trump is fully committed to ending the war. And really, he's already shifted the whole discussion. It's gone from... You know, will there be, nuclear war intensification? And now it's not if, but when, how quickly, how are we going to iron it out? But this is going to come to a ceasefire soon, because he's going to make it happen. And that's the Saudi role is in part about the price of oil getting guaranteed for Russia, because they have to be, you know, everyone's advocating for what they want. Both sides have lost, they say, close to 1 million soldiers each.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about an actual meat grinder ground war in
right.
Europe that's just gotten ho-hummed by the media and
absolutely
and was, you know.
And the devastation to Ukraine in particular structurally, it's going to take them years to repair. It's going to. You know, for me in this whole process, I think that what we may end up with is sort of a Korean War ending. Where there's no formal peace, there is an armistice. There's basically a ceasefire that exists that's tenuous at best. That's what I think we're going to end up with. I could be wrong, but I think Putin, while he's very smart, he's also crazy. I believe he's crazy. He's very cagey and all those other things, but I also think he's crazy. And Zelensky, you know, Trump nailed it the other day. He has suspended elections in Ukraine. You know, his term's up. He has suspended elections in Ukraine because of the war. Can you imagine if FDR had done that during World War II, if he had said, look, you know, we cannot afford to change horses in the middle of the stream. We're not going to hold an election in 44. Can you imagine? You can't do that. You can't promote yourself as a democratic society and do those kinds of things. And so I think Trump nailed it.
Well, what Trump has done by taking it public, you know, I've just talked to President Putin, and then he lays out the minutes of their meeting, and then now I'm going to call Zelensky and lays out the minutes of the meeting. First of all, just an amazing masterclass in negotiation and diplomacy. And two, it's incredibly democratic to bring the people of the world in on this and make everyone rooting for peace. It's just an incredibly new and direct approach that is yielding the kind of immediate results that diplomacy typically takes years to develop.
Right. Sure.
So this, I think, you know, like you said, there's a lot of different ways that it could happen, but Trump's going to bring peace to that part of Europe, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's a final peace where they sign an actual ending of the war peace agreement, or whether it's a tenuous peace like we've had in Korea it's been over 70 years now. Regardless, long as we bring peace and people stop dying on the battlefield, I don't know what the conclusion here is. Russia does not want to give back land they've taken. They certainly don't want to give back Crimea. I think if I were Zelensky, I would agree to, you can keep Crimea, but we will not cede any. We will give back lands we've taken, and you will give back lands you've taken, and we will go back to that tenuous border we had prior to the war starting. I think if he would agree to that, Russia might agree to that and let Crimea be permanently annexed.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I'm not an expert in that conflict, but they gotta stop the killing. It's ridiculous.
2 million people.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And such a threat of nuclear war.
But, you know, let's face it. Russia's always been willing to do this. I mean, how many did Stalin execute? And how many did they lose in World War II? And the people he executed, was it 30 million? I mean, Russia's always been willing to do this. That's what communism is all about. People don't matter. That's the thing that gets lost in this country. The individual in this nation is sovereign. That was the entire point of the new nation. And in communism, people don't matter. They're expendable pawns in a chess game.
It's fascinating how, even though there was this Cold War that went on for half a century, that was predicated on a Manichean struggle against communism, everything about communism, anti-communism. And then we immediately pivot into a time when, in the late 90s, we do all these deals with the Chinese Communist Party that integrates them into the entire, you know, everything of our economy and culture. Just almost insanely stupid. But and now we have to deal with it again, because communism is communism.
Communism is communism. You're absolutely right about that. I want to play this clip here. It's a little long, but it's from President Trump as he details some of the stuff that Doge has uncovered. And, you know, when I hear these people saying, we're going to fight you in the Congress, we're going to fight you in the courts, we're going to fight you in the streets, first of all, I don't think they really want to fight the other side in the streets. I think that that's just really not their thing, as they would say. But this is some of the stuff that President Trump is going to say here is rather extraordinary. So I just want to share this very quickly.
Let's go into that for just a second. $520 million for a consultant on the environment. It's called Environmental, Social, and Governance. Investments in Africa and mobilize private sector resources. $520 million. Somebody got.
Think about that for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. $500 million for a consultant on the environment in Africa. Is that really the priority of the American government? Well, apparently it was under the wackadoodles, but it ain't no mo.
$520 million for an environmental, sounds like an environmental study. I've always been one that paid a lot of money for my environmental studies, but they, you know, I paid like $50,000, not $520 million. $520 million for ESG. $25 million to promote biodiversity conservation and promote licit livelihoods by developing socially responsible behavior in the country of Colombia. Well, it's nice, $25 million to go into Colombia for something that nobody ever heard of.
So it's 9:21 Eastern Time, a.m. Eastern Time. Many of you have been at work for a few hours. Are you working harder for less money because of the excessive taxation that's taken from you by the state, federal, and county government and the local governments so that you can send $25 million to Colombia? Colombia, of all places. Have you ever, do you know where Bogota is? Do you know what goes on in Bogota? Why in the world are you working? You're working. And the money we can borrow from China and Japan and, of course, the hamsters that are running the printing press down in the basement of the Treasury. Why are you doing this? You're being forced to do this. Is this really where you think your tax dollars ought to be going? Or should that money be kept in your pocket so that your life is a little easier?
$40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. $40 million. $42 million for Johns.
Slow down a minute. Dove, I want you to weigh in. You're smarter than I am. $40 million for sedentary migrants. What is a sedentary migrant? Is that somebody who's just sitting around?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I turned on the wrong mic. Sorry.
I guess it's as good as mine. You guess it's as good as mine.
That's a bit bizarre, wouldn't you say?
Keep going. This list goes on.
I'm going.
Hopkins, great place to research and drive social and behavior change in Uganda. $42 million. What about us? What about social change in our country? $70 million.
It's not good enough. They're trying to socially re-engineer America. Now they want to socially re-engineer Uganda with the money that you've earned.
Dollars for a center at Purdue to research university-sourced, evidence-based solutions to developmental challenges. I mean, these are massive numbers on things that nobody ever heard about. $10 million for Mozambique voluntary medical male circumcisions. $10 million for circumcisions in another country.
Mr. President, is that really a priority of the hardworking taxpayer in the country who can barely get by? Circumcisions in Mozambique, is that really a priority of the American taxpayer? I suspect, not speaking for any of them but myself, it is not.
$7 million for UC Berkeley to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. In other words, let's teach them something about enterprise. What about our people? Can't we teach them about enterprise? $2.3 million for strengthening independent voices in Cambodia. $32 million to the Prague Civil Society Center, which is a very liberal group of people. Wonder how much of that money came back to the people that approved it. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $486 million to the Consortium for Elections and Political Process Strengthening, including $22 million for inclusive and participatory political process in Moldova, and $21 million for voter turnout in India.
Wait a minute. Why are we paying for voter turnout in India? I mean, honest to God, you're working harder for less. You can barely pay your bills because of the overtaxation of you as a human being in the country. And we're paying $21 million to improve voter turnout in India. What the hell? Don't we believe in freedom?
Well, why are we giving $21 million to India? They got a lot of money. They're one of the highest taxing countries in the world in terms of us. We can hardly get in there because their tariffs are so high. I have a lot of respect for India. I have a lot of respect for the Prime Minister. He just left, as you know, 2 days ago. But we're giving $21 million for voter turnout. It's voter turnout in India. What about, like, voter turnout here? We've done that, I guess. We did $500 million, didn't we? It's called the lockboxes. $20 million for fiscal federalism in Nepal. Listen to these numbers. This is all fraud. $19 million for biodiversity conservation in Nepal. $1.5 million for voter confidence. We want to give them confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in...
Hang on, Mr. President. So, did you ever see the movie, Dave?
Oh, great movie.
Yeah. So there's a point in when Dave, you know, he's standing in for the president who had a stroke, and they have a cabinet meeting, and they got to find $650 million, I think it was, to save some program that everybody universally agreed with. And at one point, they were spending like $20 million to instill confidence in people about the cars they had already purchased. I don't know. I just don't think that was a good investment. Nor do I think installing confidence in the voters after the fact is a good investment either.
Alley, $2.5 million for inclusive democracies in South Africa, $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well. They're doing a lot better than we do in the schools, aren't they?
They are kicking our butt in Asia. I just told you the nation's report card said Maine is ranked dead last for reading with comprehension and mathematics proficiency with fourth graders, and we're helping Asia get better in the schools. That doesn't seem like a really good national protection matter here. I think we got a lot of people here that just don't care about America. But you know the truth of this, and he's going to tell you this in a minute. None of this is real. These are all fake, phony, fraud things. It's just enriching the politicians of America.
$1 million to develop sustainable recycling models to increase socioeconomic cohesion among marginalized communities in Kosovo and Eskali and in Egypt. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. I could read this all day long. I could go on all day long, and you'll see that's just that.
Pause it right there, but it's I've said this to you repeatedly. $6 million to promote tourism in Egypt. They've got the pyramids, for God's sakes. Isn't that enough of an attraction? Dove, do you think that's enough of an attraction?
You know, I don't know that there's ever been a better political issue than this this dynamic of having daily updates from Elon on these kinds of wasteful, fraudulent things. And the only obvious play for anyone not on the inside or opposing it would be to get on board and cheerlead for it and act like, of course, this is great. But the only time you wouldn't be able to do that is if your entire, you know, political structure and money flows are dependent on those things not being exposed. That's a cornered animal.
That's a
totally different dynamic.
That's a snake that's cornered and now coiled and trying to strike.
Pick your animal, but it's cornered.
Run. You're right. We got to run.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money.